I'm going to talk about substitute today. The title of today is called The God Substitute. The God Substitute. It's obvious from everyone raising their hand that we all like the real thing. But then again, I wonder if we really do. I wonder sometimes in my own life, you know, am I really excited about the real thing, or am I excited about some kind of a substitute? Everyone have theirs now? Oh, well, Cliff, you can share. Okay, right up here, Leslie. Well, anyway, you know, we're experimenting with different things here. Next time I'll have this all on video camera, and I'll just put it up here on the big screen that comes down. The God Substitute, warning. The Surgeon General has determined that the God Substitute is hazardous to your health. It seems that today we have the substitute for just about everything. We have imitation chocolate, Nutri-Street instead of sugar, ice milk instead of ice cream, imitation wood, and the list goes on and on. But probably the most sought-after substitute today would be the God Substitute. Unfortunately, this substitute can be very hazardous to your health, and in most cases, is deadly. It has all those good characteristics that make for a good substitute. It makes people happy. It gives them a great sense of confidence and power. It becomes a tower of safety and great security to its user. But its greatest characteristic is that it is very deceitful. It is not at all what it appears to be. In fact, with continual use, it becomes extremely addictive, and it takes more and more to satisfy. What is the God Substitute? Let's look at the book of Proverbs and find out. Before anybody turns their page. Oh, you turned a page. You guys are so fast. I was going to see if anyone could guess what we're going to talk about today, but I won't have you guess now because you probably saw. But you know, as I was thinking about this week, and I was really praying about what God would want to talk about today, what would be a good thing to talk about? As you know, we've been going through a Proverbs. This is our eighth one on successful living. Proverbs was written for successful living. It was written to give you success in life. The Bible, in fact, was written so that you could have success in this life and in the life to come. That's why God gave us the Bible. It's not what most people think of it being, some kind of book that's going to stifle your life and ruin your life. It's rather just the opposite. It's the only book in the world that unlocks the secrets to true living and true happiness. But today in America, I'm concerned about this subject, very concerned. I was reading through Proverbs, probably like many of you this week, and I came to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 11. That would be page 52. It says, "The rich man thinks of his wealth as an impregnable defense, a high wall of safety. What a dreamer. The rich man thinks of his wealth as an impregnable defense, a high wall of safety. What a dreamer." Now you may say to yourself this morning, I don't know how this applies to me because I'm not rich. I don't have to worry about this. That's where the deception, therein lies the deception. Because most of us are working very hard to leave some kind of security behind to our family. We're working very hard to leave something so that if a disaster were to come or something like that, we'd be prepared. We wouldn't be flat on our back. Now, there's not anything wrong with that. We talked about that, in fact, when I talked about planning. Good things come to those who plan. But there's a real philosophy today that pervades in America. And if you've ever been to another country and come back, you will see that it's primarily a Western mentality. That money brings everything you could ever want. You know, last week I touched a little bit on this. Why are games so popular? Why? I mean, can you imagine? I really want you to think about this for a minute. The American people that sit in front of a television and watch a game show. Wheel of Fortune, for example. Let's Make a Deal. Why? Why? Because there's an excitement with something new. And most people, if they were honest, if they were real honest, are living out their own fantasy. Dreaming what it might be like if they were on TV. I'd pick curtain number one. Pick number one. Pick number one. You know? Oh, the idiot. Give up that $3,000. Go for all of it. I mean, if it wasn't for that philosophy, Vanna White wouldn't have a job. Neither would any of these other guys. They just wouldn't have work. There is an illusion today that wealth is an impregnable defense. So make sure that you get it. Your family's security depends on it. That is a lie. It is a lie. I like the way Solomon puts this. You see, Solomon knew what he was talking about. Solomon had it. And he says, the rich man thinks of his wealth as an impregnable defense, a wall of safety. What a dreamer. That is a dreamer. And I want to talk to you just a little bit, and then we'll look at some principles here on the back page that contrast between the substitute and the real thing. Today in America, I want to try and give you a little bit of an education. Some of you probably know a lot more than I do, frankly. And some of you may know a lot less. And some of you may know the same. But I just want to stimulate your thinking here this morning. We're the greatest debtor nation today in the world, for the first time ever, in all the history of the world, in all the history of the United States. We are the greatest debtor nation in the world. In other words, we are a bankrupt nation. We owe more than we could ever pay. Now, we all know what happens to bankrupt companies. We all know what happens to people who've got more creditors than they have income. They go to the government for a loan. And we loan them money we don't have. And now Chrysler looks like it's back in business. I want you to know that's a real joke. I like Chrysler's product, and I think they've done a great job. But how can we say that that company's recuperated when they borrowed money from a bankrupt system to begin with, and we think they're on their feet again? I think we're really deluded today in this country. Second of all, I want you to understand this. Your dollar is paper. That's all it is. When my father was a boy, his dollar was backed by gold. Your dollar is backed by words. Your dollar is worth what only someone says your dollar is worth. And tomorrow, if someone wanted to, namely the Federal Reserve System, if they wanted to, they could decide that the dollar ought to be worth only 50 cents and not 83. And you could do nothing about it. The worst thing, one of the greatest, worst things this country ever did was go off the gold standard. Now your money's nothing. You go to a bank. Why is a bank usually the most exciting, extravagant building you've ever seen? To give you a feeling of false security and safety. To give you confidence in the dollar. I just want you to know this morning, if your confidence is in the dollar, you're on a real precipice of danger. Second of all, much of our property today, I don't know if some of you know this, I want you to realize this. There's quite a few things in the Old Testament that God said would be a curse on a nation who rejected God. One of those things is that other nations would own that nation's wealth. U.S. News and World Report last month did a series of articles on the fact that one of the greatest concerns today on Wall Street and in the economic monetary banking industry is that America is no longer owned by Americans. Much of America is owned by the Japanese. Much of America is owned by the Iranians. And there's nothing you can do about it. We're living in a time, I just want you to know this. Some of you are thinking about, what should I lay up for the future? How can I protect my future? Planning is good, and I would tell you to plan, but I want to tell you, please, men and women, do not be deluded by the deception today that you see in this country, It is a great joke. It is a great joke. Every year, for the last 12 years, now they publicize it more. The government shuts down. Do you know why the government shuts down and doesn't stay shut down? Because they're broke. Because they're broke. Every year, they're broke. They write a new budget plan that borrows more money from your pocket and my pocket, and they go back into business. I was talking to a young man the other day, single, in the church here. The government takes 30% of his check every month. 30%. That's unbelievable. It just boggles the mind. And I just want you to understand that this country, no family, if you're a family out there today, and you and your husband, if you and your husband work, or your husband brings in $30,000 a year, and you are in debt $100,000, not just on your mortgage payment. Let's say your mortgage payment's $600 a year. Let's say, or a month, and it'd be nice if it was $600 a year. Those were the days, weren't they? You know, I don't know if those were the days or not, actually. But your car payment's $250. Your Dayton's payment is $300. Your grocery bill is $350. And the pool that you just decided to put in is going to cost you $380 a month. If you followed me very quick, you realize you have way overextended yourself. You know what's going to happen to that family? What's going to happen to the family? Is that family in a good, secure, safe place? No, they're not. And neither is this country. This country is not in a safe place. And because you live here, you are not in a safe place. And just because you have a great job and you may be pursuing money, if it goes, you go. If it goes, we all go. You see? And I hope that really sobers you up. I hope that you really take a serious look this morning and ask yourself, where is my strength and refuge really coming from? I want to look at this morning. Flip your page over. I'm going to read through these, then we're just going to look at a couple verses this morning. Substitute wealth. Number one, it gives a false sense of security and safety. Wealth does do that. Wealth will demand all your attention. What did Jesus say? No man can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or he will despise the one and love the other. You cannot serve God and money. Here's the point. Your allegiance is either to God or it's to money. There's never a middle of the road. You see? There's never a middle of the road. It will demand all your attention. It is very elusive. Though many go after it, few attain it. The gold rush is a good example of that. In the 1800s, many went after it, few attained it. Today, the same thing happens today. The same thing is happening today. Many are going after wealth. Having everything you want in this country is the American dream. And it's promoted as such. Nothing wrong with owning a home. I don't want anyone to go away today and say that I said that. I'm not saying that. I'm just trying to help you have a clear perspective today on what's real and what is fake. It blurs your vision. You begin to value things that aren't really valuable at all. It will sap all of your energy mentally and physically. The highest rate of suicide in this country is among millionaires. Some of the highest drug use, one of the misnomers today in our society, is that the highest amount of drug use and alcohol abuse is among the impoverished masses. I just want you to know that's a misnomer. One of the highest places of cocaine use, heroin use, and alcohol abuse is with the people that have all their life together, that have all the money that all the impoverished masses wish that they had, and they don't. And they're the ones whose lives are a total ruin. The people who have the money to buy them. You think drugs are cheap? They're not cheap. You've got to have money to be able to afford them. And you can go from one exclusive school on the East Coast to the next and find student after student, young person after young person, who's having tremendous problems with drug and alcohol abuse. They got all the money they ever could want. It will sap your life. Number six, it can buy you anything but life after death. Money can buy you anything you want, but life after death. Now, I want to look at a few verses this morning so that you understand that I'm not just pulling these things out of the air. I want you to look at Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5, page 67. Page 67, verse 4 and 5. Don't worry yourself trying to get rich. Why waste your time? For riches can disappear as though they had the wings of a bird. Did you ever notice that? I mean, really? You know, I remember before I was married, never even knew what a budget was. And after I was married for a long time, never knew what a budget was. And I just, you know, I'd have in my pocket, I know I had a $50 bill there. I know it. Now, where did it go? Who took it? Who? Did you get in my pocket, Kathy, and take my money? You know? It's like the old Blondie Dagwood commercial, you know, or the old comic strip, you know? I mean, that's man's great excuse for not being organized. His wife took the money out of his pocketbook. And I just spent it. It's just like it had wings, man. It just flies away. Now, this is Solomon. This is God speaking here. It's not just some little neat little fairy tale book. This is God. He says, don't waste your time pursuing wealth. Now, the Bible does have a way, and we're going to cover this in the weeks to come, on how wealth will come. But it does not come by pursuing wealth. It does not come by pursuing wealth. Let's look at Proverbs 17, verse 1. A dry crust eaten in peace is better than steak every day along with argument and strife. You know, when was the last time? You know, you sat down, you're going to cook out, and it's the usual, hot dogs. And you look at your wife looks at you and go, oh, honey, won't it be great when the day comes that we can put T-bones on this grill instead of hot dogs? Won't it be great? Won't it be wonderful? It could be with other things. It could be with anything, but that's just one of them. The point is few people realize the argument and strife that comes along with wealth. Wouldn't you rather have peace and a hot dog than steak and the strife that comes with it? Now, I know the classic answer. No problem, Mark. I'll take both. I'd like the peace and the steak. You don't understand what wealth does. Wealth is like a drug. And what satisfies you now at 27 will not satisfy you with four children at 39. And where your friends are at 42 will not leave you satisfied with where you are at 47. That's the way wealth is. Very, 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 very few people do I know personally that have been able to control wealth and use wealth and not let wealth use them. Let's look at one last verse in Proverbs 11 and verse 4. Page 27 and verse 4. Your riches won't help you on judgment day. Only righteousness counts then. You know, this verse kind of encourages me. Today, you know, wealth can buy you justice. Wealth can get people out of any kind of problem that most people get in today. People kill and they get away with it because they have money. People steal and they get away with it because they have money. People rob the poor and they get away with it because they have money. But let me tell you, there is a day coming when their money will be nothing. And in the snap of a finger, it will burn, it will be gone, it will be non-existent, smashed into smithereens. And you'll look for the place of the rich man, and he will be no more. Psalm says this over and over again. Jesus said, it is harder for a rich man, it is easier for a camel to enter through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And you know what the disciples said? They said, well then, Lord, who can be saved? And the Lord said, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The point is, it'll take something very supernatural to get a man off of that addiction and onto God. Do you remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus with a sincere, desirous heart? And he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And God said, "Well, keep the commandments." He said, "I have from my youth up." He said, "All right, go sell everything that you have and give to the poor and follow me." And the rich man went away sorrowing because he had great wealth. Now, there's a balance here, and I want you to understand that today. I am only trying to get your eyes, your perspective on what is true. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a successful business. I'm not saying that it's wrong to work hard and reap the labor therein. I am saying very surely that it is wrong, and you are deluded if you think that money is your safety and money is where your happiness is. I always ask people when they don't quite know if they fit in this category, I say, "Well, let me ask you this. If your house burned down tomorrow and you lost your money, would you be like Job and would you rejoice and say this? Naked came I from the womb, naked shall I return. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, or would I curse God?" You see, Job is a wonderful example of a man who had his perspective clear. He had his perspective clear. He knew where it came from. And when it was gone, he had joy. And it was a more miserable life than anyone in this room. He lost his children. He lost his farms. He lost his wealth. He lost everything he had, and then he lost his health. And boils were all over Job's body. And he sat there, and the dogs of the town licked his wounds. And his wife, wonderful, encouraging woman that she was, said, "Job, curse God!" And Job said, "Woman," I can just see, "woman, snap out of it. Shall we accept good from God and not evil?" And sometimes we need that. It's kind of like that commercial, you know, "Thanks, I needed that." You know, sometimes we need that. Let's look at the other side, the real thing. I was going to use Coke as an example, you know, but I don't like Coke. So, I mean, I'm sorry, you know, but Coke's always promoting they got the real thing. Well, God does have the real thing. I want you to know that all the deep yearnings you have that money gives, that the new dress gives, the new clothes give, you know what it's like. I mean, it's an exhilarating feeling. There is a certain exhilaration that comes from going out and getting whatever you want. But it's a fleeting exhilaration. And the only way to keep the exhilaration going is to spend more. Do you understand that? Please agree with me in your heart, because what I'm telling you is the truth. I mean, I've been there. You've been down that road. You know what I'm saying? The real thing. Let's look at Proverbs 18:10. I thought this was real interesting when I was reading this the other day. Proverbs 18:10. Just before the verse about the rich man, on page 52, the top of the page, it says this: "The Lord is a strong fortress, and the godly run to Him and are safe." The next verse says, "The rich man thinks his wealth is a strong fortress, and he runs to it." What a dreamer. See the contrast? Let's read through this list. God gives a permanent sense of security and safety. If you have a little trouble with some of these things, buy the book, The Hiding Place. Read it. It'll really change your perspective. It'll really help. I like books. I try to always consume books that build the perspectives of God in my life, in my mind, in my family. The Hiding Place is a good one. God always gives a wonderful, exciting future, one that's full of hope. You look at the financial prospects today, I'd just be real honest with you, no matter who you are, no matter if it was a world economist here, if they're going to be honest with you, if they're going to be genuinely honest, they must tell you the world economic system has never looked bleaker. I'll tell you in a little while why it's this way. But anyway, number three, God gives growth and renewed vitality instead of sapping your strength. Number four, God gives great strength and is the best inheritance one can leave to his children. Number five, God gives a man the fountain of life that overcomes death. Ponce de Leon in his search for the fountain of youth. I have it. No one ever believes I'm 31. No one ever believes I have three children. Few people believe I'm married. The fountain of youth comes from God, and He can make you youthful no matter how old you are. But one thing, no matter how old I get, I'll never die. Because I have the fountain of life, of eternal life, and God gives it. And man, you remember the show The Immortal? Do you remember the show The Immortal? The guy with that incredible blood? Remember? And everyone, he was always running, and everyone was trying to capture him. The rich man, and tap into his blood supply with the transfusion. That's what people try to do with God. They try to buy only what God can give for free. But it takes humility. And God, number six, gives real life, peace, and lasting happiness. Let's just look at Proverbs 23:17 and 18. Proverbs 23:17 and 18. Don't envy evil men, but continue to fear the Lord all the time. For surely you have a wonderful future ahead of you, and there is hope for you yet. I like that. Being a father, being a family man, some of you that are single, I'll just be honest with you, you're not going to be able to really relate to this. And you'll find out why when you get married and you have a family and you have difficult financial times. But I've had times in my life that at a weak moment, I would have sold my soul for a loaf of bread. At a moment of weakness, I would have given all I had. Like, who was it? Esau gave up his birthright for a bowl of beans. Let me tell you, you're going to be tested in that. I've been tested in that. And I came to this verse and said, God, I don't care what it takes. I will fear you. I will keep your ways. I will not go out and take the easy road in life. And there's been a wonderful future laying ahead of me. And there's still a wonderful one yet to come. No matter what happens. No matter what happens. Always remember there's a wonderful future ahead. Let's look at Proverbs 14:26. Proverbs 14:26. That's one of my favorite verses. Reverence for God gives a man deep strength. His children have a place of refuge and security. You want to give your fathers, mothers, you want to give your children a great inheritance, a great place of refuge and safety. You give them a mommy or daddy who fears God. You give them a mommy or daddy who reveres the Lord and respects God, and you will do the most awesome service for that young child that you can do in your life. You'll know if you fear the Lord by how strong you are. It's kind of like, you know how strong you are by how much you can lift physically. If you want to lift more, you've got to lift more. It's the same way with God. If you want greater strength, you've got to fear the Lord more, more consistently in your life. Trust Him. God will never let you down. God has never let me down. Never. Never. In 10 years of my life that I've been walking with Him, He never let me down in the 20 that I wasn't. God has never, never failed on one of His promises. And I'll tell you, there's been times He's come right down to the wire. God never failed. God always keeps His word. Look at the very next verse. Reverence for the Lord is a fountain of life. Its waters keep a man from death. I like that. It's kind of like drinking water that you live forever. It's just the fountain of life. The fountain of life. That's what reverence for the Lord gives. You know, you and I, the reason I was saying that I don't think there's a bright economic future ahead, I'm just going to tell you frankly why I think that's true. You can go home and think about these things on your own. There's a day coming, the book of Revelation talks about this, and I'm not going to go into this extensively today, we might sometime in the future, that in the end times, and I believe we're in the end times, I personally don't believe I'll ever see 60. President Reagan just went over and had an economic summit. I think it was, I don't remember where it was, you know, over in Europe. I don't know all those places over there. But he had a meeting, an economic summit. One of his subjects was to try and get the Japanese to sell our products over there and curtail the trade deficit that we have today in America. We have an unbelievable problem. I just want you to know it's more than you ever imagined. It's unbelievable. In fact, there's some people don't can't even believe it. And there's some people that if they think about it too long, it makes them really delirious. In fact, the Bible says in the last times, their hearts will stop, will grow faint because of the disastrous news. And there have been people that's happened to. There's been people on Wall Street that have gone and jumped off buildings because of what they see coming. that you and I, we don't always have our pulse there. Do you know what the Antichrist is going to do in the tribulation? He's going to solve the world's economic problem. We have to have the world's greatest economic problem to solve before he can solve it. And I personally believe that we are on the edge of that time. Personally, I believe we're on the edge of that time when this particular period that the Bible speaks about will be ushered in. And he is going to solve the trade deficit. He is going to solve the battle between the yen, the peso, and the dollar. And the Bible makes it very clear how he will with a one world monetary system. And I'll tell you what, if I wasn't a believer, I would be screaming for that today, because that is the only solution for the problem we have today in the world. And there is no other solution bar God himself. They will do whatever it takes to hold on to their God substitute. But I just want you to know that with God there is real security. There is real safety with God. There is real hope for the future. If this country, Psalm 46 says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. And though the earth should shake and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, I will not fear or tremble, for God is abundantly available for help in tight places. That's the literal meaning. It wouldn't bother me a bit. I mean, you know, I may have to go through some of this with all of you, by the way. We may all go through this together. Don't you understand that depression makes what we're going through now look like peanuts? There was no debt like we have now during the depression. There was no taxation during the depression like there is now. And I don't fear it. It may come and I may even be eating peanut butter. I may not even be able to buy peanut butter. I don't know. My parents went through that time. My dad had potatoes every day, almost every day. That's all he had. And some days he didn't even have a meal. But we have the Lord. I got the Lord. We've got God. And God is very present. And if you haven't learned that now, please start today. Please start today. God is your refuge. You make sure, all of you raised your hand, that you'd rather have the real thing. When I ask, between NutraSweet and sugar, between imitation wood and the real thing, between real chocolate and fake chocolate, and I know that if I would ask, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if you could have the real thing, you'd rather have God. But sometimes, I don't know if we always think that way. But just remember that with God, there is a deep sense, a real sense of safety and security and a protection from disaster and harm. Let's thank God this morning for our time, and then I've got a few announcements. Lord, I thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, God, that no matter what comes on the world we live in today, that God, we've got the answer for life. We've got the answer for every single problem that faces this world today. Jesus Christ, we want you to know we love you. Lord, I love you and thank you that you fill a man's life with joy and happiness and peace. Lord, teach us to enjoy you. Teach us, Lord, to remember that you're the most precious possession that we could ever have. In Jesus' name, amen.